Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spesh.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
It's going good.
You're live and in person this week?
I am live and in person.
Yeah,
Was it freezing rain last time?
Yeah, we had a bit of hail yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's practically no snow left on the ground.
No, all the rain that we've been getting. Yeah. It's nothing like this January rain.
I know.
Nothing says Canada like rain. Remember back in the day when nothing said Canada like snow?
Yeah, exactly, right? And it's up north, too. I saw Marion, she posted from Mew Lake, and the ice rink was closed because it had like an inch of rain on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're getting a lot of rain up there, too. It's
sad state of affairs.
It is.
I'm glad I never bought that snowmobile. But it's halfway through January already.
When this uploads, it's going to be 20 below and 20 centimeters of snow.
So you think.
That's what they say. The weatherman.
They lie.
Wouldn't it be nice to have that job? You don't have to be right.
Right?
You just, wrong again. Whatever.
This week there will be weather.
Yes. It's going to be dark at night.
We will not commit to it. It'll be dark at night, light during the day, for most of the day.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good job to have.
Well, you heard the old new year, new me thing. Are you doing anything? Did you make resolutions this year?
I did not.
You're not doing the dry January this year?
No, no.
Woo!
My wife is.
Is she?
Yep.
Oh.
More beer for me.
I could tell her you are participating and just lie to her for you if you want, because that's what friends do.
Yeah, exactly.
They bail you out of jail and lie for you. I'd never do the old New Year's resolutions or anything.
I don't drink that much beer in the first place.
Well, when you're perfect like I am, you don't need to make resolutions.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, yeah. I just know the last few years you guys have been doing the dry January thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Led us down some really bad roads.
Yeah. Last few years I've cut back a lot, so I don't know. It's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
No non-alcoholic beers and whiskey and rums.
Yeah. I had those.
Bad Derek.
I had all those from, what was it, 3 years ago was the last time I did a dry January. And I had all those, non-alcoholic rum, scotch. I had a non-alcoholic tequila. And they are just so bad. And
yeah?
I was keeping them thinking that I was just going to play a joke on somebody. And I just never had the guts to feed it to anybody. So, last fall, I dumped them all down the drain.
See, did you keep the bottles?
No, I recycled.
You should have kept the bottles and put the real stuff in.
Oh.
And then, hey, taste this non-alcoholic one.
Hey, that's really good.
That's really good. And they go out and they buy it.
Yeah. Hey,
wait a minute. Hey, Derek.
Wait a second.
Yeah. Well, you've heard the old, like I say, the new year, new me thing, which, yeah, whatever. New year, same old sarcastic me. New year, people are starting to get the gym memberships.
Yep.
Not me. I actually had a discussion today about donuts.
Can't get much farther away from the gym than talking about
new donut shops.
Yeah.
If you're looking to get in shape for paddling season, however, there are three exercises you might want to try. You can do this at home. So only three. It's not too bad.
Only three?
Yeah.
Three
exercises they say to try to help you get in shape for paddling season. So you got between now and, you got what, February, March, April, three and a half, 4 months, call it?
Yeah.
4 months to get in shape.
So I think this is a good thing to do. Like I find that winter I use the treadmill a lot more, just because in the summer we go for walks, but in the winter when there's snowbanks and yada yada yada, and the sidewalks are slippery. I don't know.
Well, I must say I'm down 20 pounds.
Yeah.
From before going to Japan.
Okay.
Back in August.
Right on.
So since August I've lost 20 pounds. I don't know where I lost it. Wasn't at the donut shop, that's for sure. So three different ones. There's the rotating medicine ball V-sit. I didn't think they still had medicine balls.
Oh, yeah.
The plank row and the rotating uppercut. Has nothing to do with fighting, unfortunately. Or fortunately, I guess. The rotating medicine ball V-sit. Core exercise targets the obliques to mimic the rotation of paddling. It's supposed to do 3 sets, 15 reps each side. So 45, that's 90.
How do you do a plank roll?
Well, just wait till we get to that one. Let's get this one out first. So sitting on the floor or ground with your legs together in front of you, hold a lightweight medicine ball or a rock.
Or a rock.
If you don't have a medicine ball, get a big rock in front of your chest. Keep your back flat, your chest up as you lean back 45 degrees. Bend your knees and lift your legs so that the calves are parallel to the ground. Balance on your glutes. Yeah. So basically you're making yourself into a letter V with your butt being the
bottom.
Your
butt's touching the ground, yeah. Your legs in the air, and you're throwing a ball or...
No, so you got the rock or the ball in front of you. Your body's in the shape of a V now with your torso being up right at a 45 degree angle. Your legs being up is 45 degree angle. Twist at the waist and move the medicine ball towards your right hip. Touch the medicine ball to the floor and return to the starting position. Repeat on the opposite side. Continue in an alternating pattern until all reps are complete. Left, right, left, right.
Look,
three
core
sets
strength.
Of 15 reps each.
This is a core strength thing.
So I got a big rock outside. I don't have a medicine ball, so it's cheaper just to use the rock.
Yeah. Or a cat.
Or the dog, an 80-pound dog.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to enjoy that. The plank row. Strengthen your core, back, and shoulders for stability and increased pulling power. So those people that just like to lily dip in the front. Yeah. Oh, you'd be getting some rows go, and you're going to be 3 sets of 10 reps each side. Start on your hands and knees with a light to medium weight dumbbell positioned under each hand. Lift up to the plank position with the weights under your palms, keeping your hips down and your back flat. So that's like starting a push-up, except you're not pushing up and down. It's too difficult to balance on one hand from this position. Try broadening your base by stepping your feet further apart. Shift your weight to your right arm, grasping the left dumbbell, and without tilting your hips, pull it towards your left shoulder. Lower it with control. Complete all reps before switching sides. So if you're doing a push-up,
you go
all the way,
full extension,
yep. But in your hands, you've got those weights, those little dumbbells, and then pull one up.
Staying in
the full extended position, plank position, and pull the second one up and put it down. First one up, put it down. Yep. Right one up, put it down. And that should help your core, your back, and your shoulders to help
I think
more strength when paddling.
One of the things you'll have to practice to get used to is like not losing your balance and falling over when you lift one arm up with the weight.
Or if you have a puppy, it running around trying to think you're playing.
Yeah.
Seen those videos. The rotating uppercut, which has absolutely nothing to do with fighting in this case.
This one case.
This boxing move works the upper body from a standing position, simulating the strength and balance needed for portaging.
Oh.
Uh-huh. 3 sets of 12 reps on each side. Standing with your feet hip width apart, hold a pair of medium weight dumbbells at your sides. And these may be the same medium weight dumbbells you used in the plank row. Curl the weights until your arms are bent at 90 degrees and your palms face up. Keep your elbows in and close to your rib cage. This is your starting position. Pushing off on the balls of your left foot, rotate toward the right as you lift the dumbbell and drive your left elbow up to shoulder height. So as if you're bringing that elbow straight up, to punch somebody, right?
Like you're doing an uppercut.
Keep the angle of your elbow locked and perform the movement with control.
Yeah, don't overextend. You're going to hurt your elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lower your left arm as you rotate back to the starting position. Repeat on the opposite side. alternate sides until all reps are complete.
It's one of these things, it's good to keep in shape over winter. Mm-hmm. A lot of people kind of stagnate. I know I tend to do in the wintertime. Like, I'll do a ski trip, a couple ski trips and stuff like that, and it's like, whoa, my legs are out of shape because I've been
right?
not doing as much as I normally do in the summer. And, like, I'm more active summer than I am winter. I used to be more active, but I don't do as much snowshoeing as I used to.
Yeah, this past year, everything all around has just been not as physically demanding for me as it usually is. But, I mean, like I said, when we went to Japan, we did so much walking. So I saved all my physical activity for 3 weeks. Yeah, when they talk about Japan and all the stairs and everything and walking you have to do, they ain't lying. So, rotating medicine ball V-set, the plank row, and the rotating uppercut. If you want to start getting yourself a little bit in shape or keep yourself in some shape and not go drastic at the gym, these are three things you can do to help you out when paddling season comes around. And you're doing it for 4 months. Come paddling season, you're not going to realize, it's not going to be that hard for you to do because you've been doing it for so long.
Yes, and less chance of hurting yourself on your first trip out or whatever.
No, because
you get your body tone and you're used to it, and so heading out, throwing a pack on, throwing a canoe over your shoulders, it's that you're not gonna overextended.
I strained my spleen. So yeah, get in shape.
Four months. Of a stay in shape.
4 months.
You got yourself in shape over summer, maintain that over winter. Perfect.
Right? Nah, I gotta get in shape. There is a whitewater race that began as a bar bet back in
bar bet
1953. Two cases of beer at stake. It will celebrate its 71st year this April.
Wow.
71 years. The Westfield River Wild Water Races, one of the country's oldest canoe, kayak, and stand-up paddleboard races, will take place on the Westfield River in Western Massachusetts on April 18th, 2026. Wow,
71 years of this, eh?
71 years. That's something. Remember how he was saying lately that all it takes is one person to start something, and then maybe 50 years down the road,
the tradition carries on.
Maybe 71 years down the road.
Yeah.
Remember that bet that started this? Race includes two courses, a classic 8-mile course for all abilities and an expert 5-mile course for advanced paddlers. So there's the classic race, the expert race. The classic race, 8-mile race starting in the center of Huntington with a mix of flat water, class 2 rapids, one class 3 rapid, and two portages. All ability levels welcome. The expert race is a 5-mile race. And see, that's the thing. It's like, wait. The classic is longer than the expert? The expert race, 5-mile race starting at Knightville Dam with challenging conditions, including a mix of exciting class rapids, 2 and class 3 rapids. Expert paddlers only. All participants, especially novices, are encouraged to attend two paddling clinics held the first and second Saturday of April to familiarize themselves with the course, which is a good idea. Westfield River is considered so pristine, it was given wild and scenic designation by an act of Congress over 30 years ago. Right? Considered one of the country's oldest whitewater races, the event originally began as a bar bet over some beers. According to event organizers, a group of friends were sitting around a bar in the bar of the Whippermon Club in Russell in the winter of 1953, regaling each other with tales of their canoeing prowess. Dick Waterhouse, the club owner, challenged the braggarts to prove their skills in a race down the Westfield on the first Sunday in April.
Oh, spring flush.
Prize would be a cold case of beer, courtesy of Waterhouse.
There you go.
Word of the challenge reached Al Hodges, owner of the Wildcat Springs restaurant, situated on the west branch of the river in Chester, about 10 miles upstream of the Whippernon. Hodges added another case of beer, doubling the prize. With that, the course of the race was set, starting at one bar and ending at the other.
That's hilarious.
So, of course, there's been some changes over the years and stuff like that. Yeah. Word of the challenge spread, and on race day, a half dozen canoes with a dozen paddlers congregated in the chilly water, mostly locals. The racers felt confident that the prize would be won by one of them and shared with the others. Instead, a team from Southwick won and took the prize home, leaving the locals to buy their own beer. April 18th, if you want to get in on it, I don't know what they're offering anymore, but it could be more beers.
Yeah.
Westfieldriver.org for more information about the whole, the river and all that sort of thing. 2026 info isn't up yet, but it should be there. There's info on the previous year's races and stuff like that there. So, and there's a map of the race course and whatnot. So you can start getting some info. And if you're down Massachusetts way in April.
There's so many of these spring races out there. It's got to be because, everybody's got cabin fever.
Water and it's fast all water, high water.
The spring floods and stuff like that. It's like, hey, let's do this. Like what? We got multiple of them here. Like there's Float Your Fanny down the Ganny. And
yeah, they're so all many in the spring. Different
ones. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's been a long winter. Let's go out and do something crazy and fun.
Yeah, let's go freeze our butts off in the water.
I know, right?
So, Westfield River in Western Massachusetts, April 18th. That's your wake up call for the, that's something like it's, this is the beginning of canoe season.
Yep.
It's the official start of paddling season is
either you do one race. Of these spring trips or these spring races or a spring fishing trip. Ice out. I haven't seen a lot of people do a lot of that ice out. Guesses. I remember Algonquin Park used to have it every spring, and somebody ran it who had a cottage on Canoe Lake, and there was bets on when the ice was going to go out. Right? Usually, it involves some kind of windy day, and suddenly everything's broken up. But I haven't seen much of a spring.
Yeah, I haven't really paid attention to it in the last few years.
Yeah,
so. I gotta think somebody's doing it still, but
not as. But I seem to have lost focus on it.
Right, we're more into the fat bears.
Yes, exactly.
Somewhere along the way, over the years, going way back, sleeping pads have become the must for backcountry camping.
They have.
Up until my 40s, I always slept directly on the floor of the tent.
Yep.
Right? There was the ground, there was the floor of the tent, there was the bottom of my sleeping bag, there was me.
Yeah, and it didn't seem to matter.
No. Until I woke up one day with a really sore back.
It's like, what's going
on? I hurt my back and I went canoe tripping anyway, and then it just got bad. And, well, maybe you need a new sleeping pad. A new what?
What's that?
And that's when I found out about a Therm-a-Rest. and since then, I don't know. Everybody I know takes Therm-a-Rests or equivalents of
some
other brands.
Some form of, exactly.
Yeah. They roll up small, some as small as your Nalgene bottle, but you pay for what you want. Like $350, $400. That's, not all get you a decent sleep.
No.
Not all keep the air in them. That's been my biggest thing is they deflate overnight and you're sleeping on the ground again.
Exactly. I've got so many that are like $200 plus air mattresses and they all have little leaks here and there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I got to buy another one. And it's just like.
Yeah. One of the things we always talk about is when you're on a long trip, getting a decent sleep and how important
it is. Important. It's very important,
right? If you don't get a good sleep, you're
groggy and grumpy
all the next day. You're not having fun. Yeah. And the next night you don't get a good sleep. By day four, you're not having as good of a time as you should be. And it's all based on having a bad sleep.
Yep.
Camping comfortably is a chronic side sleeper can feel like an impossible mission. Searching far and wide for a sleeping setup that could keep up with your tossing and turning may be a challenge that persists. Enter the Kelty Lowdown Cot. So a lot of people I know, they're like, well, getting a cot for winter camping, yes, or car absolutely. Camping 100%. Or something like that. And this has been what got me thinking. There, like this one here, we'll get into it a little later, but it's like 4 pounds.
Yeah.
As opposed to like 1.5 pounds or something. And there's some cots that are even lighter weight. But why have we become stuck on sleeping pads?
Yes.
And not something like this. $150 US, it's about $200 in Canada. Tiny but mighty, this cot may earn a place in your ever-growing gear closet. It's not only comfortable for a less than parallel sleeping style, but also surprisingly simple to set up, especially given its lower than average price point. The Lowdown Cot is exactly as it says in the title. The camping bed takes hardly any space when packed away in a zippered storage bag. And once set up, it sits a little less than 7 inches off the ground, providing enough room for to leisurely rest without feeling you're on a behemoth in your tent where space is often limited. The one thing about having a full-size cot is a lot of time you can pack gear underneath of it.
Yep.
Right? This, you can't. Maybe put your phone under there, yeah. Your toque.
There's a bit of a gap. There's a bit of a gap.
Yeah. One gear tester put the Lowdown Cot through the ringer during one of their camping-filled summers in Gunnison Crested Butte, Colorado. Through nights spent fireside in the Alpine Desert and among some of the area's most prominent peaks, it delivered. Short, the Kelty Lowdown Cot is a compact sleeping system with enough width and support for side sleepers to rest without discomfort. Built with an aluminum frame and 600D polyester fabric, it's durable yet light enough to toss in a duffel or backpack, weighing just 4 pounds 12 ounces. For short backpacking trips or hiking campsites, this cot stands out as a versatile, lightweight option. So, of course, we decided to Google this cot, and of course, comes up with other versions of it. There's like $80 versions on Amazon, but
yeah,
you buy what you get, you
exactly know,
what you pay for, sort of thing. The Helinox version is like $400. Well, at that point, if I'm paying $400 for one, I'm going to stick with an air mattress, like a sleeping pad, yeah. Right? Because, yeah, that is smaller and lighter, and I'm paying the same price. But if I can get a cheaper one, something that's cheaper than the sleeping pad,
absolutely,
to give it a whirl,
yep.
I really don't mind carrying that extra little bit of weight, especially considering how detrimental crap sleep can have on your trip.
Exactly. Yep.
If it's an overnighter, whatever. But if you're going for like a week or more,
it can matter.
It will definitely matter.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a review on this. So when a small package arrived at my doorstep, I was skeptical about what it contained. And I was even more surprised to find that upon opening it, it was the Lowdown Cot. I've tested many cots, and I promise you, this one is the smallest yet. The cot comes with 2 collapsible poles, 5 collapsible joists, a cot tarp, a convenient zippered bag for storing everything. Cot fabric itself sports a leafy design, a fun, unexpected touch in a category where most brands stick to plain, neutral colors. Cot's legs or joists come with small rubber bands to keep the pieces bundled when broken down. While handy at first, I found myself losing them quickly during testing. That's what I was thinking. Rubber, I'm going to lose those. Yes. Or I'm going to open up my tent the next stop. Oh, boom, and there's 4 elastic bands sitting there somewhere, right? Future redesign, it would be great to see these integrated directly onto the aluminum components. As for the poles, they're impressively lightweight yet sturdy once assembled. At times, the compression felt like it might be too much, but the frame held strong every time.
So the poles look just like breakdown tent poles.
Yeah.
It's a very light compact. I watched the Kelty YouTube video, and it looks like a nice cot.
Yeah. At first, I was wary how the setup might go since the lowdown seemed to have more moving parts than other COTS I've tested, but I was pleasantly surprised to find the assembly process straightforward, even without instructions. Two long poles slide into the fabric sleeves along either side of the COT. Once it's done, each bracket assembles into a wide Y shape and clips into the poles at the breaks in the fabric. These struts pull the COT material taut without making it overly stiff. Locking the bracket into place required some effort, but with a bit of leverage against the ground, they snapped into place securely. Brackets bow noticeably, yet the flexible aluminum is designed to handle the pressure, and that tension is exactly what gives the COT its supportive comfort. Once set up, the low-down COT is slim enough to slide easily through the tent door or into the car trunk without snagging or bumping. Unlike many COTs that feel heavy and awkward to maneuver, this one is refreshingly easy to move around. In use, the COT measures 75 inches by 27.5 by 6.7 inches. Fits neatly inside my two-person tent, leaving enough room for my dog to sprawl out, me to stash my 65-liter backpack inside with space to spare. Furthermore, the COT sits 6.7 inches above the ground, creating space underneath for books, luggage, cubes, water bottles, or whatever else you want close at hand in the tent. Bear spray, knife, toilet paper, hand sanitizer.
Yeah. And really, like at 75 inches, which is what, 6.25 feet? So that'll handle a lot of even tall people, right?
Yep.
Kind of hard-pressed to fit it into a tent, depending on how many people in the tent. Like at our family tent, it would fit them, but in my normal tent, obviously I'm not going to be able to bring it because my tent's pretty small, just for me.
If you got a solo tent, but I think it's two-person minimum tent to get one of these in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or if you have a three-person tent,
there
really isn't any difference between having two.
Yeah.
Right? You'd have that, and then you'd have... Yeah. I don't know if you'd have two of those, but you could. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Leave the dog at home.
Yeah.
Disassembly is just as easy as simple as setup. Flip the COT on its side, use its natural flex to pop off each leg, slide out the poles, and all the components collapse into themselves, making it quick and easy to pack away. Comfort of the COT genuinely impressed me. The feel lands right in the medium firm range, soft enough to sleep on your side without pressure points, yet supportive enough that you don't sag like you would in a hammock. For reference, I'm petite, so larger bodied campers may want to test it themselves to see how it feels. Derek, are you big boned?
I looked this up on sale. And you looked at, let me see, I couldn't find any place in Ontario for it, but I think it's just a new product out, so it's still making its way.
There are places in Canada that are selling it,
yeah.
But just MEC doesn't have any, Sale doesn't have any. Sale, I think, said it was sold out.
Yeah?
Yeah, so there's a couple Canadian places, if you Google low-down COT Canada, there's a couple online places that sell it and whatnot. And you also get all the different versions from different companies too.
Yes, when exactly.
You Google something. When you,
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
27.5 inches wide, the COT provides ample space to curl up. I never felt cramped, and my dog was even able to hop up with me, which felt like a major win for both of us. For winter camping or anyone that prefers extra coziness, the low down pairs well with an insulated sleeping pad. That said, it's perfectly usable on its own during winter months, making it a versatile option depending on your setup. So we used to put the blue foamies under us.
Yep.
When we used to go winter camping, when we first started, bring the big COTs.
Keep
we
the
bring
edge the, off.
Yeah, yeah, just keep that little bit of extra insulation. Silver on one side, you know, so that would reflect the cold back down sort of thing. During one of my testing iterations, I brought this COT on a short backpacking trip, less than 6 miles round trip. I opted to leave the storage bag behind to prevent wasting precious backpack space. However, I was able to store all the components in the lower vestibule of my backpack, allowing it to remain organized when I arrived at camp. Luckily, I had the extra compartment in my pack that accommodated the legs, cover, and poles, but if you had a spare stuff sack lying around, you could probably fit most everything in it. The included storage bag is perfect for walking campsites or car camping, but its bulky nature makes it less than ideal for journeys where backpack space is crucial.
Yeah, you're not taking this backpacking. It's not going to go with you in a kayak. Not the bag.
It's
a car camping, or if you want to carry some extra weight mm-hmm. in bulk, take a canoeing.
You can also attach the zippered bag to the bottom exterior of a backpack if absolutely necessary. Nothing says you have to have it on the inside.
No.
You know, you can put the...
strap it on the outside.
Strap it on the outside, and if it's... It doesn't say whether the bag is waterproof or not.
Doesn't have to be.
But you can put the bed part,
yeah.
the cot part, in a bag.
In a Ziploc, yeah.
Inside.
Yeah, keep
that
it dry.
Bag, right? Keep it dry. There are some lighter, more packable cots on the market, such as the Helinox Light Cot, which weighs 2 pounds, 12 ounces. However, it comes with a significantly higher price tag, $300, $400 in Canada. This cot strikes a nice balance at just under 5 pounds. It is heavier than ultralight options, yet far more affordable, making it a solid choice for shorter backpacking trips where weight isn't the top priority. I could leave a couple other things at home to make weight space for this. Overall, I was impressed with the Lowdown's performance as an affordable lightweight cot. That being said, there are a few areas where it could be improved. Everything can't be perfect, but first, the cot's length may not be suitable for users taller than 6 feet, as it measures just over that in height. Extended size option would be a welcome addition. So 6.5 feet.
Yeah.
I'm 6'1", so this would just be...
Just the right height.
Yeah. Second, the 5 collapsible legs can feel a bit chunky when packed in a backpack, and sometimes trying to assemble themselves after being stored. This raises the risk of puncturing a backpack or the included carrying case. As mentioned earlier, the separate rubber bands designed to keep the pieces bundled are easy to lose, so I would be great to see them build directly into the design. Finally, the legs' feet don't pivot, which makes it important to find a flat, even campsite. On rocky or root-filled ground, the cot can wobble slightly, cutting into comfort. Adding pivoting feet could further elevate the Lowdown's performance. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
$150 US, $200 Canadian. The Kelty Lowdown cot is a solid option for a cot that won't break the bank. With a lightweight and user-friendly design, cot is ideal for individuals seeking their first camping cot, but who are put off by the more substantial and rugged options. Just over 4 pounds, a Lowdown can easily be thrown in a duffel or the car, making it a quick solution for a bed at a music festival, walk-in campsite, or overnight backpacking excursion. Included zipper bag keeps all the components organized and safely stowed and won't take up much space at all in your gear room. While it isn't lighter than some of the competitors in the cot market, it's definitely more affordable and sturdy enough to support most sleepers and their emotionally attached dogs. If you're a few inches above 6 feet tall, you may want to pass on this one, as you might find your feet hanging off the end. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Half the time I sleep on my side, my legs are bent.
Yeah, you're curled up a bit.
Right? For folks who sleep on their sides or tend to toss and turn like me, this slightly slouched material and quiet textiles will help you get plenty of rest at camp. Recommend the Kelly Lowdown cot for folks needing a dependable and easy-to-set-up solution for their camping adventures, whether they are a quick overnighter or a weeks-long trip.
So, looking at it, you can see, if anybody Googles it or goes to the Kelty website, it does have little flat feet on the legs, and so those would help, but still, you're putting a hard plastic against... You know, your tent floor, which is against the hard ground surface. So if I had a higher end tent, I'd be worried about poking holes through.
But I don't know about that.
I think it might, depending on where you are. Like, you know, if you're car camping, those sites tend to be kind of rocky and stony. But in Algonquin Park and, to say Temagami, there's a lot of stone, open rock and stone that you're setting tents up on, right? So. I don't know. Like, over time, I think you could wear a hole through the tent floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thought. It's a consideration.
Yeah, I'm considering one of these for this coming season.
Oh, me too. Definitely.
Just to, like I say, there's just been so many disappointments with Thermarests and whatnot.
I know.
The Nemos. And
I get so tired of having Thermarests that leak or, like, what's the one you...
I had the Nemo.
Nemo. So yeah. My Nemo, I bought... The Nemo's only a couple years old, and it's already got a slow leak. And patching is not always successful.
Yeah.
So,
well, and there's nothing like trying it out at home, and it works, and then you try it out on your first night out of a two-week trip.
Like, wait a sec.
And then you're waking up flat on the ground in the morning. And then you say, tell your wife, well, here, you know what? Let me use that one, and you use the good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're... You're sleeping flat on the ground for 2 weeks.
I'm sleeping in the hammock tonight.
Yeah, it's I swear that the people at sale were getting to know me on a first name basis because I was just bringing these things back.
Yeah.
And I even had other people using them and they go, no, there's something wrong with this. It's not how you're doing it. You're not setting it up wrong or anything like that. It's just a piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So after all those disappointments, I mean, I actually went back to my very first original one.
The foam one?
The original orange Thermarest.
Okay, yeah.
It has a really, really slow, so you can get like 2 nights out of it before you have to add air.
Yeah.
But I was looking at getting a thicker one. That's where the whole experiment started. Right? Because this thing's like an inch thick.
Yeah.
So I've gone back to that. It's an inch above ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's not much, but,
you
know, it does help some. So, yeah, I think I might look into some sort of cot for this coming paddling season. I don't mind a little bit of extra weight if it's going to give me, like I said, on big trips.
Comfort. Yeah.
If it's going to help me wake up rested every morning.
Yep.
Now, the problem is you get too comfy. You don't want to wake up in the morning, right?
Oh,
coffee's
so
on. Comfy. I don't need a coffee today. Breakfast is ready. I don't need breakfast today. We're packing up. I don't need to pack up today. So the Kelty Lowdown Cot. Give that one a looky-loo on the interweeb and see what you think. Speaking of gear stores
and you returning your stuff
and me returning my stuff, I didn't realize is REI, they have a used gear section right in their stores there. You can get great deals on lightly used returned items. I don't think I was ever aware that if you return an item that they will actually resell it.
If it's not damaged, broken, whatever.
Yeah, slightly used. I got these as a gift. They don't fit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they weren't really what I was looking for sort of thing. So they're well known for their generous return policy. Co-op members have a year to return almost any product, even if it's been used.
Yeah, it's about these underwear.
No, sir. No. You can put those back on with your pants and get out of the store, sir. Derek. Product then gets placed in the used gear section where members can buy it at major discounts. Whenever a customer returns a product, a sales associate creates a tag with the product info, the new discounted price, and the customer's stated reason for the return. Stated reasons in quotation marks. As you might imagine, the reasons, sometimes excuses, people give for returning used gear to REI run the gamut. For instance, some of the stated reasons for return are sensible. The boots someone ordered online were too small. The piece of gear broke the first time they used it. The product was damaged during shipping, etc., etc., etc. Among the ill-fitting jackets or slightly used tents are return excuses that are outrageous, bordering on absurd, where the REI used gear section is worth its weight in gold. Perusing these tags and reading people's stated reasons for return can be almost as much fun as shopping. And who knows, you might just score a cool deal on a piece of lightly used gear in the process. Go for the entertainment. Go for the gear, stay for the entertainment, right? Sometimes you read a return tag and wonder if the person actually looked at the product before buying. I scored a Yeti Rambler pour over for a $15 discount because someone didn't realize they needed a filter. If they had taken the time to read the label, they would have seen that. It clearly states a coffee filter is required.
Poor planning.
Yes. In another example, someone returned a tent vestibule thinking they had actually bought an entire tent. Let's hope they figure out the difference before they went camping.
We always, when we buy a new tent, we always set it up before we go camping. It's like, we need to know that if there's a problem or if something's broken in transit, yada, yada, yada.
The first time I bought a tent with a vestibule was awesome. It was awesome.
Wow, there's a tent outside the tent.
Well, my Eureka Spitfire Solo had enough of a vestibule, I could put my shoes.
Oh, there you
that
go.
That was it.
Yeah.
And now you got room for more stuff. Yeah. Right? You're like, oh, this is awesome. Someone even returned ultralight running shoes for, get this, being too light. Well, they were ultralight. Someone returned a pair of men's La Sportiva Solutions, one of the most aggressive performance-oriented shoes on the market, with the explanation of, was a beginner, shoe was too advanced.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, those shoes are too advanced for my feet. Sometimes people return a product for no other reason than it just wasn't their vibe. On the camping gear subreddit, someone reported that they once got an inflatable camping pillow for cheap in the used section because a former owner said it was haunted.
Oh, wow.
That pillow is haunted.
This is haunted.
Yeah, I got to return this because it's haunted. Okay. Someone else admitted to being behind one of REI's silly returns. They stated, a friend of mine bought one of those small camping chairs that fit inside a backpack. I tried it out on a trip, and it was awesome. I was like, I gotta get one of these. So I bought one and took it on a backpacking trip, and I don't know, it just wasn't the same. It was the same brand and everything, but it just wasn't as compatible and revolutionary as it was the first time. You always remember your first time.
Yeah.
And it was over $100, so of course I returned it. I told the cashier nothing was wrong with it, but the magic was gone.
No magic in this.
If anyone out there bought a magicless chair, you're welcome. Man, I don't think there's any magic in. You know where all the magic is? It's in that haunted pillow. REI shared that one customer returned a pair of pants with the explainer, hates the color, makes me want to throw up. Another returned a bag because their girlfriend thought the bag made her look like a Ninja Turtle.
I can't hike with this. It makes you look like a Ninja Turtle.
Sometimes it apparently takes a while to realize the vibes are off. One customer returned a pair of off-road running shoes after 6 months of use. The tag reported they were very worn, but that the customer just couldn't get used to the squeaking.
Wow.
Now, I've got a pair of those North Face trail running shoes.
Yes.
And if you sit there shifting your weight from left to right, left to right, you're hearing a small pop.
Yeah.
Because of the way there's a little concave part in the bottom of the sole.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so I sit there in the shopping line or whatever behind my wife, just shifting weight. And all you hear is, and then she's like, will you stop? And of course I don't. Recently it's become a trend to post ridiculous return tags people have found on Instagram, and outdoor brands are getting in on the fun. Pack Outdoors, which manufactures trowels, wipes, and poop kits, decided to create fake REI return tags as a marketing strategy. Tags include the realistic and almost believable customer confirmed they are a holder and under no circumstances will poop in the woods. Other fake tags look to the extreme. Customer severed an artery digging digging a cat hole with a shovel and had to be evacuated.
He finished
pooping first. Packed Outdoors also sells tabs made of mycelium that help break down poop faster. Also decided to promote its fungi tablets with a return label gag. Packed jokingly claimed that a customer thought these fungi-based tablets were psychedelic. The return stated customer ate the packed tabs and said he did not see God, just returned the packaging. Kula cloth, which
wrong
makes
mushrooms.
Kula cloth, which makes reusable pee cloths for women, has a running joke on Instagram about a male through hiker who thought the Kula cloth and then returned it thinking it was a potholder.
This potholder sucks.
Time will tell if more brands will get in on the return label fun, but no matter what, the REI return section will continue to be a gold mine for both deals and entertainment.
That's awesome.
I think that's great. That makes me wish there was an REI around here.
I know.
But there
have you ever been to one?
Down in the States, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to the Seattle one.
Have you?
Yeah. What? I used to live on Vancouver Islands. And
yeah, so it's just right across the water.
Yeah. They have a giant climbing pillar right in the middle of their store, so you can do rock climbing right inside.
Test your gear.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
It's a perfect place for it.
Yeah.
Outdoor shows are happening.
Yes, they are. And
being the middle of January, the outdoor shows are starting. Now the holidays are over, it's time to start getting ready for these shows. A couple coming up January, February, that's the start of it all, and then we head to see these and check them out and see what's good for the coming year.
I'm not going to all of them.
No, we're definitely not going to all of them. There's a couple we're going to. The first one now, Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show used to be the first, but now Hamilton Adventure Expo, January 24th. That's like in 2 weeks. Not even.
Yeah, that's very close.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
January 24th, 25th. Ancaster Fairgrounds, just outside of Hamilton, Ontario. 2 days this year as opposed to the single day last year. This is the second year for this, and it was huge last year. Lots of speakers on both days, lots of vendors to check out. HamiltonAdventureExpo.com for more information, like tickets, times, guests, speakers, etc., etc. But there's also a third day, the Friday, January 23rd, they're doing the Adventure Film Festival at the Westdale Theater in Hamilton. So there's also that option, so you can make it a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing.
They're greatly expanded. It's nice to see that they're doing more and more. This is, only the second year.
Yeah.
And they've greatly expanded. They're doing a lot more. There's a lot more vendors. There's a lot more speakers. So it's really cool to see that they're growing so quickly. It's been so popular. So I think we're going on the Sunday. So I'd like to, I kind of want to go, I want to see all 3 days.
I have a feeling
days.
It's going to be, well, it won't be 3 for me. I've got to work.
So. Yeah.
I might end up doing 2 days.
Yeah.
Just the question is, do you drive there and then back?
How far is Hamilton? It's only 3 hours, 2.5, 2 hours?
3 hours?
No, Hamilton's not that far at all from here. It's 3 hours to Windsor.
If you're taking 3 hours to get to Hamilton,
well, then we should go
you're
both
going
days, then.
The wrong way. You're that little gray-haired guy in the fast lane, aren't you?
No, I'm just thinking.
Doing 30 under the speed limit.
If you're complaining about driving there, I was thinking it must be a long way. But
no.
For me, it's
just the other side of Toronto.
2.5?
Not even.
Yeah.
It's like an hour and a half.
From Bowmanville.
Oh, from, maybe 2 hours.
So I can see where you'd say it's unreasonable that it's 3, but 2.5, 2 hours and 45 minutes, that's closer.
Nah, not even that far.
Three hours, you're crazy? It's only 2.5.
6 days to get there, round trip. It's just...
I don't want to stay over.
Yeah. We'll see.
We could.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I'm not going to stay over. It's just driving there, driving back, driving there. Driving
it could be
back.
A pain.
I got things to do.
Gosh darn Ontario drivers.
Right. Get off my highway. Anyway, January 24th, 25th. Well, I can guarantee right now we're going both days. I can guarantee you. We're going to him and haw to the point where it's, hey, that was a great 2 days.
Well, what might be beneficial, so I found that it was way overcrowded last year. And maybe with it being spread over 2 days, it'll spread out the people a bit. And so I can predict that the Saturday is going to be busy and the Sunday not as busy, but it'll still be popular.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to going.
You just hold on to that dream, Sunshine. It's going to be busy both days.
It was pretty crushed. It was a large crowd.
And we need to see Kevin Callan speak on Sunday.
Yeah.
And throw stuff.
I never seen him speak.
Oh, he can speak.
You know what I mean. You know
I think what I've I only mean. Seen him present twice.
Yeah.
In the 10 years we've known him. I think I've only seen him speak twice.
I've seen him on video. I don't think.
Oh, yeah,
I've
you've done it on video.
Because we're always, when we're at these shows, we always have our own booth or something, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or when I was down at Canucopia the second time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was in the room next door. Frank Wolf was in the one room.
Yeah.
And I definitely needed to go see Frank and chit-chat with him and whatnot, so... Kevin lost out on that one. And at the Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show, the 1 year, he was on one big stage, and I was on the other stage at the same time.
Yes.
So I missed out then as well.
I saw your presentation. Yeah. I didn't see Kevin.
Yeah. I guess Kevin just doesn't mean as much as we thought. kidding. It'll be nice to actually sit there and... see one of his presentations
live. We're
not
prioritizing him. We had to prioritize him more.
Yeah, we got to prioritize Kevin.
Yeah, he's learned my name. I should go see him.
I got a gift to bring him, too.
Do you?
A bottle of whiskey from Japan.
Oh.
Yeah, it was brought special for him.
Excellent.
Maybe I'll just empty it and bring him the empty bottle. Yeah, you want some whiskey?
No, non-alcoholic whiskey.
Yeah. Anyway, January 24th, 25th, Hamilton Adventure Expo. Take a peek for us. We'll be around there somewhere. HamiltonAdventureExpo.com. Get all your information there. And then almost a month later is when the next one is. Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show, February 20th and 22nd. That's the weekend after a Family Day weekend.
Yes.
International Center, Mississauga, way out by the airport. Everything for outdoor fun and travel. Lots of speakers, different stages, water demo pools, and you can see paddling demos and such. OutdoorAdventureShow.ca for more details, like timing, doors open, close, tickets, ticket prices, all that sort of thing. And for those not in Toronto, you can also click at the top. There is an outdoor adventure show in Vancouver, Calgary, and Montreal. We failed to mention that. No.
Well, no, it's different, but there's the Ottawa Outdoor
Show. No, I'm talking about this one.
Yes.
There's this a Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show.
Yes, this one travels.
Vancouver, Calgary, and Montreal.
Yeah.
The one after that, which is by far my favorite to attend, but we're not attending this year, unfortunately, is the Quiet Adventure Symposium, Saturday, February 28th. It's the 31st annual symposium. Held at the Michigan State University Farm Bureau Pavilion in Lansing, Michigan. 9 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon. Lots of speakers and presentations. Lots of booths to see. Everything Quiet Adventure-wise. There's a lot of paddling stuff there. Quietadventures.org. Check that out for ticket prices and all that sort of stuff. And when you're there...
Don't forget
to check out the rabbit show and see all the rabbits and remember us fondly.
Yes.
And then Canucopia, March 13th to 15th down in Madison, Wisconsin at the Alliant Energy Center. Tons of speakers and vendors there. Like you spend so much a year, 3 days there.
Yeah.
Just checking out the speakers and everything. Everything you need to see or want to know under one roof. Rutabaga.com/Canucopia for more information. If you've never been to Canucopia and you can get there, do it. It is a show definitely worth not missing.
That's a weird way to say it.
Definitely a show worth not missing.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, okay, just had a double check.
It's like, wait a sec, that sounds weird.
Wait a minute, it's a double negative. You definitely don't want to not miss this one.
It's not worth not missing and not right? worth missing. It's not-
something like that, yeah. Go see it.
Yes, it's
if
worth
If you've
it.
Never been to Canucopia, definitely get there and see it. Quite Adventure Symposium is a great day. I used to do a day trip from here to Michigan and back.
That's a long drive.
In a day.
Yeah.
It was like
that's got to be at least 3 hours.
5-6 hours there. It's at least 3 hours. Halfway. Yeah, I think it was like 6 hours there. Yeah. And then you're there all day. And then 6 hours home.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great drive. You're just relaxing. Got your tunes going.
If you got the right crowd in the car. And
a large group of one.
Yeah. But no, you went down
there
with.
There were three of us. Me, myself, and I.
But you went down with. What? Alan was in there.
Nope. No, that was Canucopia.
Oh, I was thinking, that's yeah. what I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm talking. Yeah, Canucopia is like a 12-hour drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, Quiet Adventure Symposium. I used to just go down there for the
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
6 hours down, stay there the entire day, 6 hours back. Take your time, relax, mm-hmm. stop for some stretching. And
good people. It's yeah. I always like that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Cynthia and her crew are doing an awesome job. Yeah. So those are the four main ones that are around this area anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That we're hitting up two of them. And again, the Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show will probably be there Saturday and Sunday. I know you usually only go one day.
I only go one
to day. That one because yeah. it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
But Hamilton, I got to think we're going to be there the Saturday and Sunday, wandering around, yep. listening and to some of the shows and stuff. And 'tis the season to start it all.
Exactly. Lots of good speakers, lots of good vendors. There's one of the vendors, I tried to follow up on them this time. They had this Ursac backpack.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah.
But I was never able to find it. I couldn't remember the name of the place, and I lost all the pamphlets that I brought home.
Well... Andy from Recreational Barrel Works.
Yes.
I imagine he's going to be at the Hamilton one too?
Or I didn't notice him on the list.
Was he not at the Hamilton one last year?
He was.
And
Kevin did his booth, helped him with his booth.
Yeah. He'll be at he'll probably be at the other show for sure, Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm looking at getting, you know, the soft Voyager packs he has.
Yep. Oh yes.
The yep. looks like a like opens from the top sort of thing.
Yep.
And you can pile them. They took them on their Opisquia
mm-hmm.
Canoe trip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at getting a set of those for Tracy and I.
Excellent.
Right. So yeah. throw those in.
Oh, is that the one that doubles up? There's two. Yes. Two in one.
Yep.
Yeah, I like yep. that one. I like yep. that one.
I'm going to get one of those. So yep. if he's got them, I might actually contact him beforehand. Mm-hmm. See, bring it down, put my name on it, and I'll
yep.
walk home with it, Excellent. Or drive home with it,
or drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have
yeah.
to use it or drive.
Well. Walking takes you 3-4 hours.
probably two days.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, you know what? Like I say, the start of the show season.
Yeah.
That really, for me, gets me through the February blahs and,
yep.
and whatnot. And that, for me, is the signal that paddling season is coming sooner than
exactly
sooner than later.
Yes.
So
well, I get you. I like going to it, seeing all the gear, daydreaming about how I can use stuff in certain ways, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, look at this. It's great. It's like daydreaming and thinking about all the stuff that other people do, and you, it's like, oh, I never thought of a trip like that, or never like today. There was something about one of the speakers at the Hamilton show I was reading about this morning. And then I saw a story about a bunch of stuff that happened in the turn of the 1900s and a lot of deaths up in the Nahanni. And so I started scanning the Nahanni River. It's like, I want to take the kids here. I would right. like to do a section of the Nahanni.
And bring them back, of course.
And bring them back, yes, okay. absolutely. Yep.
Just checking, because yep. there's yep. days. Every parent will tell you there's yeah. days.
So, like, there's sections that you could take your family on. It's not heavy whitewater on the lower section. So I think that would be very interesting. I was looking at a bunch of landscape photos from the Nahanni. It's like, it looks breathtaking, like mm-hmm. to see all the mountains and the snow-capped peaks and the river, the wide river. It's like definitely want to go. And you know what? Until this year, I hadn't really thought much of the Nahani. I thought, oh, that's a possibility someday. But now after I just...
There's a lot of people doing those northern routes nowadays.
Yeah.
It's more more accessible, I guess. I don't know if that's really a word I'm... Yeah. They're popular.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe more accessible is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Now there's people that'll take you up and in, guide you along where you need to be.
I'm trying to find the balance where I'm not so old and the kids aren't so young.
You are so stuck on being old.
Well, I want to be able to do the portages, the challenges and stuff like that.
But you're not 90 yet, are you?
Beckett is 12.
You're not 90, are you?
Beckett is 12.
Yeah. But you make it sound like you're almost dead half the time.
No, but it's going to be like 5 years before I could really consider safely getting him on that river, right? I think Why? Stella could probably go now-ish. If you don't do a whitewater section, absolutely. Yeah, right now.
So you come back with one kid less. Who's going to complain?
Not an option.
Not an option. My wife will not be happy.
Well, no, she's
going to. She takes roll call.
So I want to take her too. And she can't do whitewater either.
Ah.
So, and I tend to do all the lifting.
There's enough. You go on a guided trip, they'll tell you where to go.
I don't want to do guided. I want to be able to
go with a company and
waste
say, hey,
a day
this is,
here and there. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the plan.
This is where you want to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've already
you can do it now.
We've
do it
already
next
discussed
year.
It. Who we're going to reach out to? No, not this year.
Next year.
Yeah, maybe.
See, he's 13.
Yep.
And you're not dead yet. It's old guy Derek trips with the old guy.
No, but seriously, like it's when it comes to carrying heavy canoes and heavy packs and doing these major portages and whatever. It's you got to consider that.
You got to give him some credit too.
Do you?
You do. You do, you're surprised. You'll be surprised at what they can do when they're having that kind of fun.
Okay.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. How young?
Carry it, kid. we had our kids out quite young, actually.
On a major
like
northern
six, seven.
Trip?
Not northern, but canoe trips.
Fly in.
Yeah, as long as they sit down and don't open the door while the plane's flying, you're good. Should be good. What could possibly go wrong?
You got people listening can't see it right now, but I'm rolling my eyeballs.
Day five, we've lost one somewhere along the way. just don't leave it too late, dude.
Nope.
Don't leave it too late.
Yeah, I got to wait for them to get a little bit older.
But see, you get them now. You give them the taste of it.
Well, no,
they want to
do
it again.
We do Killarney. We do
Tomogony. Oh, that's not
Tomogony.
Northern Ontario or Northern Canada.
No, but you have to get them ready. Baby steps.
Thought they're ready already.
I know you can't fly a plane yet, but you're going to fly one today.
See?
Solo.
What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
Sink or swim. I'm dropping in the middle of the ocean. How long can you tread water?
What could possibly go wrong? you got anything else?
I don't.
You sure?
No.
Positive?
I've been ridiculed enough.
I don't think so. Hang on, I got stuff written down here. I think getting your kids out there, I think that would do you a lot of good too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you build those memories with those things.
And, I'm 100%. Yeah.
You know, these are the things your kids are going to remember forever. Yeah. Even if it is a bad trip, they will remember it forever.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
That was a really bad trip.
You ever read Calvin and Hobbes when they go on their camping trips?
Yeah, yeah.
And when it's always raining. Don't worry, it builds character. I don't want character. I want a warm bed. And even the mother is like not happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's not saying anything.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the good old days. Yeah. Yeah, my kids are... I didn't realize your kids are like half my kids' age.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually less than half my kids' age.
12 and 15.
Well, yeah. Wow.
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 Wow. All righty. Other than that, so we need to discuss what we're doing with our which trips, who's driving.
Yes.
John Brower wants, I think he's getting the weekend pass for Hamilton.
Is he staying over in Hamilton?
No, he's driving back and forth.
Yeah.
So maybe
there we you just go.
swindle him into driving both days.
Yes, there you go.
That way we can go to the bar, have some drinks. He can drive us home.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. Because you drove us there last year.
Did I?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we took your car.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did drive.
Yep.
I don't often drive.
No, I know. I don't want to put miles on my truck. It's too new.
My car is, my car doesn't run so well.
Oh. Maybe I'll call John. Hey, John, if you're listening to the show, buddy, give me a call.
Got some sensors that are failing. Newer cars, too many sensors, too much electronics, trouble. Like,
don't get me started on that. Don't get me started. We'll be here all night.
Yep.
Welcome to hour 17.
Of complaining about vehicles.
Complaining about modern technology.
Yep.
That's why we go camping, buddy. That's why we go out on the canoe trips and stuff like that to get away from all that garbage.
Cut off the world.
That's right. Alrighty. Well, if you've got nothing else.
I got nothing.
I've got nothing else. The HR department's got nothing else. And this lazy dog laying on her side on the carpet looking up at me's got nothing. You got anything?
Yeah.
Apparently she has nothing either.
She ran out and had her pee, so she's feeling good now.
Now she's feeling fine. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can download or stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.